This is a podcast from Bloomsbury T&T Clark. In this podcast, we hear Professor Joan Taylor of King's College London talk about how and why she first got into academia. She talks about this in the context of the book launch for Geza Vermesh's final book, The True Herod. Joan also tells us about Geza's revisionist vision of Herod and gives us an extract of the latter part of the book itself. Joan's words were recorded in a room full of people, not all of whom had turned their mobile phones off, so you may hear a few ambient noises every now and then.
I went into the Penguin Bookshop, sorry to mention a rival, in Covent Garden when I was working in Craftwork, called Craft Shop in Covent Garden, and I had a job there that was a bit tedious, actually. And I used to love going off in my lunch hour, going to the Penguin Bookshop and buying a select book and coming back and reading it surreptitiously. And the book that really grabbed me was the Dead Sea Scrolls in English. I had a Christian upbringing. I was really interested in biblical things, but I didn't think of myself doing anything in terms of scholarship. That was not what I was about at that time at all. I didn't consider myself even very scholarly. I didn't have the patience for it. I grabbed this book off the shelf, bought it, went back to the Craftwork, read it under the counter, read it even when people were looking as if they were going to buy things for me. I was just and my notes on this book are all the way through it. I was making connections between biblical material and the Dead Sea Scrolls. I was underlining what Geza wrote at the beginning. I was so fascinated by what he wrote here, I then signed up to become a kibbutz volunteer, and I jumped on a plane, went to Israel, went to this kibbutz in the Golan Heights, Afik, because I wanted to get somewhere near the Sea of Galilee. And I also hitchhiked around Israel with a kibbutz friend, and we hitchhiked up to Qumran, and there I had Geza's book with me at Qumran, and I went around and looked at the site. So if I was ever on Desert Island Discs and I had to choose what other book than the Bible I would take with me, it would actually be the Dead Sea Scrolls in English, an updated edition. And what Geza did was he brought it alive. And he brought it alive for me so much that I was then inspired to go and do postgraduate study. So I give you this illustration, really, to show how Geza, though he was this remarkably gifted scholar and could speak to academics very, very well, could also, as you said, speak to everybody and reach out in terms of our discipline and get people excited about things that they didn't think they were going to be excited about at all. He had this remarkable gift to cross over from the scholarly world to the world of the general public. And what you see in this fantastic book on Herod, which really is a delight, and you at Bloomsbury, T&T Clark, have done such a tremendous job. Geza would be so, so pleased to hold such a beautiful, just a plain, beautiful book. So, speaking about Herod, what you get in this book is you kind of get an alternative filmic portrayal, I think, because it is a book that takes you from not only the background of Herod, but his young life, his giftedness, his struggle with the Hasmonean dynasty, his flaws, his humanity, and also you get into the mind of Herod. What Geza seemed to be interested in here is trying to work out what motivated Herod, what drove him. And really, what drove him was this kind of desire for an honour, to be honoured by people, as was fitting for a man in his position as a king. So I feel like it opens up this dimension of a historical personality that you wouldn't get just by reading the facts about Herod. And this is what Geyser can do. It's not just about assembling material about what Herod did, it's about what Herod was, who he was, a real human being. So we meet Herod. And we meet Herod nicely at the end. He sums up his portrait of Herod. And I actually just wanted to read out these a few bits from these pages on page 102 to 106, jumping over some beautiful, beautiful pictures, to summarize what Geyser has felt about Herod, and also remind you of how brilliant Geyser Vermeersch's language is. So, he says, to end on a positive note, it is important to draw attention to Herod's contribution to the religious life of his country. Herod's fondness of the learned Pharisees and of the Essenes, these prophetic experts in divine mysteries, identified by many with the members of the sect who owned the Qumran or Dead Sea Scrolls, was bound to advance and promote the intellectual and spiritual life of the Jewish people. Cut to the chase, this fondness, this spiritual life. He's interested in inner life. Above all, the rebuilding of the temple instilled a fresh life and a much increased attractiveness into Jewish worship, and surely enlarged the number of the Jewish pilgrims and non-Jewish tourists who visited Jerusalem throughout the years. The pilgrims came from the four corners of the ancient world, even from beyond the borders of the Roman Empire. So how can one sum up the variegated pictures of Herod? He looks at different portrayals, both negative and positive, and then goes to an idea of Herod dreaming. He dreamt of an unprecedented uplift of the social, cultural, and economic status of the Jews. He showered genuine love and care on them when they suffered, and longed for this love to be fully and continuously reciprocated. Moreover, since the Roman Empire represented for him a divinely instituted new world, and the Emperor Augustus, the universal savior of civilized humanity, Herod was determined to ensure that he did everything he could to make his Jewish kingdom an integral and significant part of this novel order. Alas, his great dream collapsed for two reasons. For the Jews, the Roman Empire was not the new creation dreamt of by their prophets, nor was for them Augustus the final redeemer. They preferred to wait for their own royal Messiah and for the kingdom of God, which this Messiah was to inaugurate. Moreover, the bloodbath inflicted by Herod on the much respected and loved Hasmonean royal family, including his adored wife and favorite sons, cast a dark shadow on his generosity and good intentions towards the Jewish nation. Fate caught up with the erring tyrant and his fall, like that of all tragic heroes, proved inevitable. In the Christian world, his persistent ill repute is founded on the massacre of the innocents, a crime which he never committed. However, having murdered his nearest and dearest after a horrendously painful illness, he expired in loneliness, with even his closest confidant, his sister, refusing to implement his last crazy will. Now I read this out to you because Geyser can bring alive Herod by these sorts of ways of writing about him in a way that nobody else has done hitherto, in a book that he wrote quite quickly. No one else would really end with this image of his sister not implementing his will, his final frustration, this kind of ultimate dishonor to a man who was all about honor, to a man who built all these magnificent edifices that we go to Israel today to look at. Herod is really almost single-handedly responsible for a large number of tourists going to the present day state of Israel, going to Masada, going to his fantastic edifices. So I would like to think just for a moment of Gaze of the Nations, image of Herod, which I find myself quite challenging to really take on board, that man who was brought to a position of power that was really thrust upon him at a very, very young age. He didn't have a normal childhood. He went off to have to be the instrument of Roman rule in Judea and really wanted to build up Judea to something that was truly magnificent. So in honouring Herod, we also perhaps honour the ancient Jewish people that he so did care about. In honouring Gaze of Vernacious' vision of Herod, let us also honour Gaze of Vernacious' achievement in producing this book. Thank you.
You've just been listening to a podcast from Bloomsbury T&T Clark. To sign up, please visit our blog or look for us on iTunes. Thank you for listening.